Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by Managers.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality hockey drama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Millers. I'm the bouncer of the VIP area saying, you're not on the list. He's also known as Royfield Brown, and with me are the influencer known as...
Philippa Hall.
And the goodie bags are you folks, our lovely listeners. This week's Dumpty Dum is from Stephen, our Stephen, Mr. Stephen Bowden. Now, folks, wow, what a week we have in store for you. Not only do you get a Dumpty Dum, you get me, you get Philippa, you're also going to have Buffy Davis, aka Jolene, 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 with you on Friday on Zoom. Now, telling you categorically, if you're not a Dumpty Dum member, this is basically one of the Patreon or PayPal crew. This is your last chance to get on one of these freebie Zooms, because from here on in, it's going to be members only. So, if you ever needed an inducement to get onto Patreon, give us a $2 per show. It's this, folks, because you're going to be able to see the wonderful Buffy Davis in the flesh. Well, okay, on your laptop. And you'll be able to see one of the most tangible benefits of being one of our Patreons. So, this Friday at 7 p.m. UK time, Zoom. Now, if you don't have a link, get your bum over onto the Book of Face. The link will be there. And or you can back channel us on the Twitters and you can ask us for the link. But as I said, from here on in, whenever we do these Zooms, woof, it's only going to be for the Patreons. Now, Philippa Hall, How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Just recovering from my son's 13th birthday party. Quite exhausting. And I was told I was not allowed to be embarrassing. It was quite hard. I found that quite a challenge. But we were very COVID friendly. We did outdoor things. We did clay pigeon shooting, quad biking. But every time I went near this group of 13-year-old boys, they stopped talking. It's that age. So I just had to hover at a distance. But you know, how about you?
Listen, you don't hear about me. Now, one of the things, but I will be speaking to a very famous, important friend of mine on Friday. Other than Buffy Davis, actually.
Who?
Ian Dale of LBC fame.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, and for the many podcasts. How do I get involved in this, please?
Well, what you need
to
do
is
download the Clubhouse app.
Yes. Oh, no. No, you're okay.
And you'll see there'll be an alert from me that I'm going to be doing a room with my pal Ian.
Does he listen to The Archers is my question.
He doesn't. last year on the For the Many podcast, he commended Jackie for her appearance on Dum-de-Dum and said he found it highly enjoyable, Dum-de-Dum, but he doesn't listen to The Archers. He outed himself as being non-Archers, big style.
Brave man. Dear, oh dear. We need to educate him. You need to do that, Royfield.
I will. I will. I will do that on Friday. So if you want to listen, I think it's going to be round about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock UK time in the evening on Friday. If you want to listen to me and Ian Dale have a little bit of a chat about life, love, the universe, and of course politics, head over to Clubhouse. Let's get on with the calls and all the kit and caboodle of this week in Ambridge, because I've got something to say about 13-year-old boys being a little bit taciturn around a yummy mummy. You are a yummy mummy, aren't you, Philippa? Well, you are a mummy.
I'm a mummy, but I'm just sort of stunned into I don't know what's happening. But
I was 13 once, and I remember going round to a friend's house, and their mum was rather easy on the eye and just going, it's goes with the territory. Philippa, less about you. You always make this podcast about you, don't you? It is actually about the Archers and Ambridge. So I've got to ask you, it says on the script here. So, Philippa, what did you think of the week in Ambridge?
Well, thank you for that very natural introduction, Royfield. That's so kind of you. And we do care how you are and how your week's been. Thank you very much. But anyway, this week on Ambridge, looking at the A to Z, this week it's the letter H. So on Monday, Helen had a nasty neighbour, Kyle, questioning the price of her organic carrots. And we heard a hello as Alice returned to Ambridge, renouncing rehab once and for all. On Tuesday, we heard the hunt as Phoebe and Kirsty looked online for Layla, narrowing it down to someone who is either hippie, horror, or has height. We had a hallelujah from Alan, offering Alice accommodation with Amy in Nottingham. On Wednesday, we had a hey, as Helen laid down the law to Kyle, saying she's got photos of his shenanigans and to leave her alone. And then hurt. Chris was hurt by Alice because she headed off to Nottingham without a goodbye. And on Thursday, we had hurrah as Ben got on the nursing course and he celebrated with Rory in the VIP area of a club. And finally, we had holy moly as Adam lied to Ian about his phone call and Ian was not impressed. So that was the week that was Ambridge.
Good God, that's quite good. Well done, you. Since when you've been cooking all this stuff up, you know, severe alliteration. Anybody think you read books? And a lot of them. On this week's episode, we have views from Isabel, Dusty, Substances, Amelia, Sue, and Claire. Plus, we have an email from Emily and a text from Sue and JJ. So, Philippa, somebody else would like to send us in a dum-de-dum or a call. How can that be done?
If you would like to sing or play as a dum-de-dum or send us your views on the week or give us a plot prediction, then leave us a message on SpeakPipe, which you can find on the dum-de-dum.com website. Or you can use WhatsApp, leaving a voice note or text message to 07957 167 696, which, as we know, has a plus 44 in front if you're outside the UK. Please make sure the message is no more than 2 minutes long. And if you would prefer to email your thoughts and predictions, go to the Contact Us section of the website and fill in the form.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
First up, we have Amelia. She's a second time caller in a row, don't you know?
Hi, this is Amelia, second time caller in a row. So I've got a few things to say today, and I've listed them here. So Alice, obviously, it's quite shocking and disappointing that she left rehab. That was really, really sad. I was really gutted for Brian and Jenny. They must be distraught and beside themselves. But I think it's right that she did, because she didn't actually feel committed to going in, and it was a good... it was an honest portrayal of what can happen with alcoholism. Chris sort of confused me, because until that episode where everything went down with him and Alice, I'd been thinking that he was actually doing the right thing by protecting himself and Martha from her, by leaving her. But then he, you know, broke down about having abandoned her and not being there for her. And that actually made sense too. And I wondered if perhaps he should have gone about it in a different way. It's probably just really difficult to know what to do in a situation like this. But hopefully he'll realise that Nottingham's not the other side of the world and he can actually go visit her. Rory is so amazing. He's like that cool friend that you had at school that always managed to smooth talk their way everywhere. And you wondered why they were friends with you, because, you know, you always felt a bit hapless next to them. Oh, Ian and Adam, I hope this storyline of Ian thinking Adam's having an affair when he's not doesn't go on too long, because that can be quite frustrating for the listener. And I think people don't get the wrong end of the stick about situations as much as it seems to happen in the Archers. That's it from me. I'm just up to 2 minutes. Okay, bye. Thank you, bye.
Oh, Amelia, thank you so much for your call. Did you know, actually, there's a song by the Jewelers called Amelia. It's sort of ska reggae group. It was a very happy song. So, Amelia, you should listen to the song called Amelia. Anyway, thank you for your call. Yeah, it's interesting to hear Alice's view and to hear Jenny and Brian. What a mess. And when Alice started saying about how she'd been to Bath recently, so she might go there, she's really lying to herself. And she's adamant that she's going to leave Ambridge for good. I thought it was quite interesting that she had withdrawn her consent at rehab. Is it that easy to do? Presumably because she had done that. But I was quite shocked about that. And yeah, I understood Jenny needing to know where Alice was and that she was safe. But equally, I could understand that Alice felt she just needed to get away and start afresh. But when Alice was talking to Fallon, he sounded very, very relaxed, as if they'd just been asleep. You know, Fallon, oh, I've come round, Alice, let's have a nap and then we'll chat about the important stuff. It just sounded a bit surreal to me, but I don't know. I'll probably read into these things far too much. I knew Fallon was going to tell Chris. I'm sure we all did. She promised Alice that she wouldn't. See, there's some lies this week, I think, but she's still...
Does lies begin with an H?
No, which is why I didn't include it in the summary.
Oh, I was just checking because I'm dyslexic, yeah. So I don't know.
Honestly. But when Chris said, oh, I might have lost Alice forever and it's all my fault, focus on Martha. You might, if you don't, you might be losing your parents as well. They're so exhausted looking after your daughter. They, you know, they're arguing, bickering. Will they get divorced? Come on, Chris, do what you need to do. You can't help Alice right now. You need to look after your daughter. Well, that's just what I think. Royfield, what should Chris do?
Yes, completely and utterly agree that he needs to concentrate on Martha. But without Alice, there'd be no Martha. So, you know, when he looks at Martha, it's a constant reminder of his wife, of Martha's mother. You know, there is that human element too. And also, even though Chris did the right thing, he feels guilty about having to make that decision to choose Martha over Alice, you know, to say that Martha comes first, because she does. You know, she's a defenseless infant. But that doesn't mean that you know, you can't feel pangs of guilt. So Chris has completely done the right thing, but is uncomfortable about it. And I think it's just a very human portrayal. You know, everything that he said was heartfelt and was true, but it's not the whole truth in terms of him abandoning Alice, because he didn't. You know, he gave her numerous opportunities. She lied to him for years. And then when he found out, you know, they went, you know, he took her to rehab. Well, he didn't take her, but, you know, she went to rehab when they were trying to keep it amongst their own family. He gave her numerous chances. And we went through that pregnancy with him when she was still drinking, you know, and that had a devastating effect on him. So I thought it was a great scene. But, you know, as a human being, you understood completely what he was saying. It was the truth, but it wasn't the whole truth. you know, Chris has tried. Though I think, just to come back, I heard you like a few times, you're coming to jump in. The effect that it's having on Mar and Pa is palpable, and Chris does need to be careful there. Mm. Yes, they want to help out their son and their newest granddaughter, etc. But they're not young, you know, and even though Chris has his own business, he has the forge, Martha is his responsibility first and second. And yeah. he needs to step up more in that regard.
There's helping out and there's completely looking after Martha, which is what certainly we're being told that they're doing, that Neil and Susan are primary, secondary carers for Martha. We haven't heard Chris spend time with Martha at all. So I'm disappointed in him with that. I mean, I just feel he looks at it quite simply, that he thought rehab was the solution. And because he loves Alice, he thought she would come out at the end. And it just seems to me that he thought that everything would be rosy from that point. And so he's even more shattered by the fact that she's not sticking it out at rehab. And so that sort of simple solution in his mind isn't happening. But there's more calls on that, I would imagine, on the subject of Alice and her life choices.
Right. So from Amelia, we go to, ooh, an old stalwart. It's our Dusty. Yes, indeed we do. And here is our Dusty.
Hello, it's Dusty Substances here, the wrong sort of listener. Well, like so many of us, I've spent the last week listening to the drama and extraordinary emotional roller coaster that saw Alice leaving rehab, and magically she's going off to get better in Nottingham with Amy Franks, who's got bugger all else to do because she's only a midwife during a pandemic. And I thought I'd speak for us all in saying, this is an absolute load of bloody rubbish. I think that's all, really. Anyway, speak to you soon. Bye.
Oh, I love that call so much. Thank you, Dusty. That's a great call. Yes, it seemed crazy to me. There were various crazy moments this week. I mean, when Alice was looking for her keys in the office, it sounded more like she was stacking boxes and papers, not looking in a key drawer. And I thought, well, why is she looking for the keys? She knows how to use a brick anyway. She could just use that and get in.
That's quite good.
Thank you. And before that, we heard Adam actually getting on with Brian and offering to make a cup of tea. Royford, I was thinking, what types of tea do you think Adam and Brian drink? I thought Adam might have sort of an artisan soil tea, and Brian, maybe Earl Grey if Jen is there, and if she's not, an English breakfast. What do you think they'd have?
Adam might go for a good Kenyan blend, or, because you remember he spent time in East Africa, or a robust tea, which is a good African, South African tea. So I think Adam would be all about that. I've got a sneaky feeling that Brian doesn't get more exotic with teas than an Earl Grey. I think, you know, Brian's probably all really about a good old-fashioned English breakfast. I think he saves his sophistication for whiskies and things like that, as opposed to tea. But rooibos or a good Kenyan, that's Adam all the way.
I want to talk more about this rehab. So Alice was saying it didn't work. She had no time for herself. It was all group sessions or two people at a time. She was never on her own. Surely with rehab, especially one that expensive, there are different approaches. I mean, Witherspoon would be the person that would tell us best about this, but surely they can adopt different practices and, as I say, different approaches to suit the individual. So why would she just throw her toys out of the pram and say no? I can't imagine that the BBC are going to let us think that rehab doesn't help. And as Dusty says, that staying with an overworked midwife in a global pandemic is the solution to an alcoholic. But then maybe this is more about Alice's inner strength. Maybe she's got to, and I mean this seriously, maybe she's got to find herself first before then she can look at rehab. I've not heard her talk about doing the AA steps either, or going to an AA meeting. So I'd be interested if that could start to happen in Nottingham. But there were lots of reactions to Alice and lots of similar things. Brian said, for heaven's sakes. Chris said, for God's sake. And even Lee said once this week, for God's sake. Why, Royfield? Why are they all saying this. It just seemed to be a theme this week.
I don't know, other than I think it was a good week in terms of Alice and the unpredictability of someone's recovery. Mm-hmm. We all thought she was going to go to rehab, and that was not going to be the end of it, but she was going to come out of rehab, however long, 2 weeks, 4 weeks later, and then she would fade into the background somewhat. And then, I don't know, a few months later, we'd have some Chris and Alice and little baby storylines. But I think they did really well, the script writers, in throwing us this curveball and showing us that it's not a smooth linear progression if you are afflicted by any type of addiction. So it was an utter shock and surprise when she turned up again for all of us, let alone Brian. So that was great writing. I'm less sure about the writing of Helen, Lee and Kyle. You know, that was a little bit more problematic for me. Though I did also like this week the Brian and Adam stuff. The fact that, as you said, it's how we came into this segment, and you didn't want me to talk about my afternoon tea salon, which happens at about 9 p.m. UK time. But the way that they were kind of getting along was, I think, incredibly true to life. You know, they both made a decision, which I think they both actually now regret. But it's not exactly daggers drawn, is it? A truce, so to speak.
Yes, they do sound very pally, but let's remember they're too scared to tell Jenny or Ian what's actually going on. So it just does feel a bit false. This, oh, let me make you a cup of tea. Oh, lovely. Yeah, so it was. We needed Alice to come in to wake them up.
Isn't tea the Kofi Annan of just about every British situation, though?
Yes, that is true. It was just surprising coming from them, and with such good spirits towards each other. There was no huffing or puffing. Well, I suppose then we had the comparison of once Alice showed up, and then things certainly changed. But yes, it was a perplexing week, I thought.
Talking about weeks, Claire from Clapham would like to pontificate, prognosticate, to ruminate and to cogitate over the week in Ambridge. Here's Claire.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. Well, it's been quite the tumultuous week on the Arches, hasn't it? There's a lot going on. Alice is back. Adam is lying. You know, all the usual stuff. Thought I'd just talk about a couple of things. One is we all like to hear Vile Kyle get his comeuppance and that Helen was the one to do it. But I do feel like it's a bit of a questionable moral victory if she's lied about things and blackmailed him in order to do so. She did not go high where he went low, did she? Let's be honest. And I can't help but worry that it's just sort of setting them up for future grief from Kyle. But then maybe there are some people you just can't rise above and you've just got to just, you know, play on their level. I don't know. Anyway, I hope that Vile Kyle doesn't then later on find reason to kind of team up with Rob, who comes back, and that causes more grief. That would be wrong. And then the other one was Rory and Ben. And I do love to hear Rory and Ben. And this week I've really just, or maybe it's a kind of comprehensive girl chip on my shoulder, but I really felt I've heard that kind of, I don't know, like entitled, confident, private school kind of thing with Rory. It was like, oh yeah, we're going to get into this VIP area, blah blah blah, on the one hand, and Ben wasn't so bothered, but then at the same time Rory was clearly, you know, giving sexual favors to the bouncer as well. So it's not all swagger, is it? Or maybe it is, I don't know. Anyway, interesting to see how Rory's turning out, and I hope he doesn't go to London. Well, I hope he does go to London as a final time and comes back and scandalizes the village in some way. That would be quite fun, wouldn't it? Anyway, keep up the good work, everyone. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Oh, Claire, thank you so much for your call. Yes, Kyle spending £13 to buy some organic cheese and veg and making such a fuss about the price. Is he normally buying just Dairy Lee and mushy peas? Is that his version? I don't know. That seemed quite strange. And when Helen first tried to talk to Kyle, it was just so painful to hear. You wanted her to really sort of face up to him and conquer her fears.
And when Kyle said to Lee, "Listen, action man," I just thought that was great. That's how we think of Lee, isn't it? And I agree with Claire. I just wanted Helen to explain what happened. I wanted her to conquer Carl by saying, right, you don't know what I went through. This is what I went through. This, 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 and this, which would have just stopped him. And there are quite a few new listeners, it seems, to the Archers who don't know, who weren't listening when there was the Helen and Rob story. And who can blame them, because it was so difficult to listen to. But it would be a useful way of catching up a lot of people as to why Helen behaves in the way that she does. So, yeah, I wanted her to win that battle by sort of by her own strength. And not that was another lie, you see, saying that they'd got these photos. But who was it in the window? You see, my worry is we ended last week's episode with Joy saying she was going to sort Kyle out. I am very concerned that it was Joy that went up there and she'd WhatsApp Lee to say, right, stand by the window and have a look. and it was all there. That is my worry. Now, Rory, I like Rory this week. Well, I like Rory anyway, but I liked him particularly this week because he was the only person this week that could pronounce Nottingham correctly. Everyone else said Nottingham. And that's not okay. It's Nottingham. So I like Rory for that. I had to replay it actually for 1 minute because I thought it was Freddie speaking, not Rory. So I had to listen to that a couple of times and I realised, oh gosh, no, it's Rory. Yeah, and with the lies of Rory promising action for the bouncer, I felt though, Claire, he wasn't going to deliver any personal favours, that he was just lying, he was giving the talk to get in, which didn't sit with the Rory that we know and love. So I don't know, that was a bit perplexing. But Royfield, what did you think of the celebrity Zarb?
Can I completely nutty out myself and say that when I heard this episode, I was driving, there was a 10-year-old boy in the back of the car. I was going down a Canadian highway. So I didn't get the nuance that Rory might have given an inducement to the bouncer to get
or
in.
Or not. Yeah.
You know, that's utterly lost on me. And it's really interesting that Claire says that, you know, public school boy, entitlement, confidence, because there's a call later on from Sue. And she's going to kind of say the opposite, that, you know, she liked that Rory is turning out to be somebody who is kind of confident. So I think it just shows you how well written and how well fleshed out the character is now becoming, because we can have two listeners of some repute who hold different views as to whether this is a good or a bad thing. I like Ben and Rory when they hang out. But we are very much seeing, I think, emotionally a slight difference between the two characters, in that Rory is a little bit more worldly wise, isn't he? And Ben very much feels like a puppy in the headlights type of thing.
Yes.
In life, especially when you heard him with that interview as well last week.
Oh, no. You know,
Rory would have been much more poised, shall we say, in that regard. So their friendship is a joy, but you can see that one of them is a little bit more relaxed around, and this isn't at all a sexual thing, but just around members of the same or the opposite sex, and that is Rory, as opposed to Ben, who is very much like, you know, he's just going out into the world for the first time.
Oh, bless.
Right. Shall we go to Sue then, who has a different take on Rory? Right, smashing. All right, Sue, you're up.
Hi, everybody. Sue Hanrahan here from Manchester with Jesse. Last week I found quite interesting. I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems that they seem to be focusing on two sets of people and they go backwards and forwards. So it's sort of like two lots of scenes all the way through. Anyway, regardless of that, I thought Helen handled the situation very well. It's awful the way that Kyle was behaving. I think Alice is leaving Ambridge because I think the actress is probably going to be doing something else. That's my firm belief there. She'll probably come back. And as for the situation with Ian, well, he's going to get a bit of a shock, isn't he? But I don't think that anything's going to happen with Home Farm. I think everybody's going to stay as they are. It might take a while to work it all out. I just want to say that I've loved this new version of Dumpty Dum, but I've also really, really appreciated and loved the way it used to be as well. So I just love everybody that's on the show. So anyway, I'll say bye for now.
Oh, Sue and Jesse the guide dog, thank you so much. We love your calls in. Thank you. That means a lot. Yeah, crikey. I do think, actually, that the two lots of two characters, as you have rightly highlighted, is a result of there just being less actors at the moment with all the COVID restrictions. And I hope that will start to ease in the forthcoming months, so we'll get to hear more voices. And wasn't it awful with Adam and Ian? I just worry that Ian's going to think Adam's having an affair with the soil man and he's going to go to their lunch to catch them. Actually, slight spoiler, but there we go. I've looked on the character list for next week, and would you believe soil man Michael Park is going to be on next week. So we're going to hear that. So you can just imagine Ian just jumping out, sort of maybe under a tureen or something, and saying, "Here, I've caught you." And hopefully they will explain. But you can just imagine it's going to get to that really embarrassing point before it's resolved. Again, I was a bit perplexed when Ian was looking after Xander and he heard Adam come in and he said, "Oh, not so loud, as a sleeping toddler here." And Adam just kept talking loudly as if Ian hadn't said anything, which was quite strange.
To be fair, Adam only has one volume when it comes to talking.
That is true, but if I'd just got my child asleep and someone came in and woke them up, I would be slightly cross. But yes, so we had another lie with Adam going on about that. And poor Ian, he got the line that ended the week. "Are we families just going to pieces?" Oh, my goodness. Adam needs to tell Ian immediately. It put us all out of our pain. What do you think, Royfield?
I'm finding this a little bit tortuous in terms of the, as Sue kind of said, in terms of the, we know that Ian now thinks that that Adam is potentially playing away. And to be fair to Ian, you know, he's got, Adam's got form in that regard. You know, there was Charlie. So, but it's just a little bit tortuous for us, the listeners. And it does feel a bit soapy tropey. And how ridiculously uncomfortable Adam was on the phone. You know, we know what he's hiding.
No.
He should have been able to think on the spot. Just, "Oh, yeah, da da da," you know, and just move on. You know, "New supplier, I'm going to go meet them next week." You know, bang, move on. You know, it just felt a bit ham-fisted to me.
Yes, or just, I'm not going to keep working with Brian, but I'm not going to make any rash decisions and I've got some options and I'm just doing some more research. Wouldn't that be a simple way to do it instead of this? Yeah, the line was so obvious, so cliche. It was painful.
Yeah. We deserved better in that regard. We absolutely did. And, you know, I do understand, I don't agree with it, but I do understand Xander is what, just over one now. Ian hasn't gone back to work because of COVID and also looking after Xander, etc., etc. He doesn't want to worry his partner about money, considering what he has actually done to
the business. He is back at work, but only part-time.
But it's part-time. Adam is rightly feeling uneasy about the fact that he took money from the business to pay for a household expense, which even that doesn't quite make sense because, you know, if we go back, you know, this was all discovered because Brian needed money for the for rehab. So Brian was just looking at the company coffers just to make sure that they had enough. And he says, "Oh, look, Adam, I'm just going to just get my bonus early." Why couldn't Adam have done that?
Because you have to talk to the partners. Yes. Why didn't Adam just ask? Because
he should have just asked.
But he would have had to go cap in hand to Brian, and Adam does not want to do that.
But
he's made it worse.
Worse. And he does have partners, and this is a partner's issue. And, you know, a lot of people kind of say, well, you know, Brian is condescending towards Adam. But think about that exchange. Brian has set that business up from the 1970s, and he informed Adam what he was about to do because he's a partner. Adam started working for that business, what, 12 years ago, and as relatively recently, I can't remember, let's say 3 years ago, taken over the reins, and he didn't even think to ask his partners. So it tells you everything you want to know about ultimately who's right and who's wrong in the regard of how they view each other. Yes, Brian has issues with Adam, that he's not his biological son and his sexuality is an issue for him. Yes. However, put that to one side, Adam has never seen Brian as a father, has always seen him as a slight interloper into the family. And it's also got good reason to, in terms of Brian's affairs that he's had throughout the years. But that interaction told you everything. Brian told Adam what he was looking for and why. And fundamentally and emotionally, if not actually legally, this is Brian's company. He set it up 40 plus years ago. Anyway, moving on from that devastating put down from Adam, from me, Royfield. That's Sue. Have we done with Sue's call now?
We have. Do we have another call?
We do. We do. I know. It's our Isabel, and she's going to be our last caller in a row.
Hi, Alice. I mean, I'm not trying to judge or anything, but I think Chris is right on this one, that she sort of stepped off the road to recovery sort of thing, you know, and, you know, like she needed rehab and she quit it. To be honest, I'm not very happy with her for quitting rehab. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, like she's saying, oh, you don't know what it's like in that place, therapy, group sessions and that. Alice, that's what rehab is, therapy and group sessions. Just deal with it. I'll just get off the subject. And anyway, I'm glad that Alan suggested that Alice should go and stay with Amy, because Alice could have ended up anywhere with her at otherwise. I'm sorry that Chris missed her. Layla and Roy in this storyline. Well, to be honest, I'm a bit worried. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, whether Layla is who she says she is and that. I suppose we'll just have to see how this one plays out. Kyle Yates and the WhatsApp group. You know, when he started going, oh, £13 for a bit of cheese and veg. I was like, I knew it was him instantly. Yeah, and I was right. I was hoping that Kyle had sort of go on his knees and beg Ellen to forgive him sort of thing, you know, like after Karate Kid had beaten him up. I think Vile Yates is a good name for him. I thought Helen was telling the truth when she said about the photographs and that. Yeah, it was pretty funny. So I've got to say for now. Bye.
Isabel, thank you very much. Good to hear from you. Hope you're enjoying your summer holidays. Is Layla real? I love the Phoebe and Kirsty researching Layla, but when they were talking about how they'd found her and that she was a teacher at this school called Failing School, the way they said it, it sounded like failing school. So I thought she was at something that's being investigated by Ofsted. But anyway, I think Kirsty demonstrated her high levels of IQ by saying, there's three not in uniform. They must be the teachers. Wow, Kirsty, you really should start a business researching people with that level of knowledge. I don't know. So Layla is either a hippie, but they didn't think that would be Roy's preferred one, not after Kate. She could be a horror like Carrie. That didn't sound right. Or she could be tall. And I just wonder, actually, we had Sarah call in last week who wondered if Layla would actually be transgender. And Sarah, you could be right. Who knows? It would be really interesting to see if they cover that. And actually, another spoiler, I'm afraid, Layla is on the list of characters for this week coming up. So we have yet again lots of new characters. It's ridiculous the amount of one-off characters. The permanent cast must be furious about this. But anyway, yes, Layla is on the Archers this week, next week, however we want to look at it. We're recording this before the next episode, so it's sort of next week for me. But yes, she's on the list of characters. Margaret Caborn will be playing her, and we'll get to hear a little bit more about what the story is. Royfield, what do you think about that?
I think you've got to be careful, Mrs., saying that these are one-off characters, because we don't know. When Vince Mintz Casey first came in, This was just somebody who David was just doing a little bit of business with, and we just thought...
Yes, I accept that, but mm-hmm. it does feel like every week we're getting at least two new characters in and we're not getting our original ones in because there are so few that being included.
That is true. Also, it seems to me like a BBC mailbox have said... Do remember that this thing is supposed to be set in the western side of the Midlands. So all of a sudden, all these new characters seem to be all talking like that, you know, cool. And, you know, Kyle, Vince, you know, so all of a sudden, everyone's a Brummie, or at least from the Black Country. So, which is all of a sudden has become somewhat jarring to my ears. But yes.
So have they sent half the cast away on retraining to talk with a West Midlands accent? And until they've got their gold star certificate, they're not allowed back on. Is that how it's working?
You know, but definitely some level of a memo has gone out, hasn't it? All of a sudden we have. What, three, because Vince's mum, she was a, all right, talk kid. So, yeah, anyway, something's gone on. Maybe we should speak to Kerry Davis and ask him.
Yes, please do, and report back immediately.
Right, so that's the end of the caller inners. So what you got for us, Philippa Hall?
We have an email. We have a lovely email from Emily. Thank you so much, Emily. Emily emailed in last week as well. Hi, Philippa. Here are my thoughts on last week's development in the Alice storyline. I know how exhausting the storyline of Alice's alcoholism has been, but if the script writers have sent her away, never to return, I'll be livid. It's not that Alice is my favourite person and we do need a break from her, but packing her and her problems off to Amy isn't that different from what we did with unmarried pregnant women just a few short decades ago. I'm not sure what sort of message her leaving rehab is meant to send. If she goes away and gets well without rehab, are people going to come away from listening, thinking that rehab isn't for everyone? I'm sure some people do get well without rehab, but I don't think they get well and stay well without some sort of supportive framework, such as AA. The script writers have an opportunity to teach through this storyline, and I hope they're not blowing it. That said, maybe Alice isn't going to get better. I'm glad Chris realised that walking away from Alice completely might not have been the best choice. He's got to keep Martha safe, of course. However, I can't help but think there might have been a solution that didn't involve pretty much cutting her off, leaving Susan and Neil trying to pick up the pieces. I know Alice started off wanting privacy, but by the end, the entire village knew, so they could have supported her better from within Ambridge, I think. Take care, Emily. Emily, thank you so much for that email. Yes, absolutely. Agree. Alice's story is not simple, and Ambridge can't help. There's lots of problems in Ambridge already. I mean, you know, yes, we've got the seriousness of Alice, but let's not overlook another major issue. The Longhorns are arriving at the rewilding site this week. And Phoebe said, hopefully they'll stop browsing their way all through our land. OMG, Phoebe, this is going to cause such chaos. You can just imagine, you know, people waking up in the morning with a longhorn cow in their camping site. It's going to be complaints. I know they said last week about how the best part of their site were the green toilets. Well, that's going to go downhill as well if there's a longhorn cow stood in it. I don't know. And the Montbelliards. Helen was saying to Lee, can you tell it's a Montbelliard when she was trying to make these scare cow things? Well, okay, I know I like to do my research, and I have done my research again. I have spent time looking at photos of Montbelliards. I've even been watching videos of Montbelliards.
Oh, and, please. Okay, you take your dum-de-dum research way too far. They're cows. That's all you need to know.
But if Helen is saying to Lee, can you tell it's a Montbelliard? How? How can you make a cow look like a Montbelliard when it's just a brown and white cow? Is there a big sign saying this is a Montbelliard in case you didn't know? There's got to be something. I don't understand why she's saying that. It didn't make sense to me. Do you know the difference between a Montbelliard and another cow, Royfield?
No, but I know a difference between a cow and a horse. And that's all I need to know. Because it's like, come on. Right, I'm not a farmer. I'm never going to be a farmer. Why do I need to know what the difference is?
No, interested.
Well, you do if you go on this scarecrow tour eventually when it happens in Ambridge, because you need to be able to stand there and say, oh, that Montbelliard is very realistic.
There is something, though, about the interaction between Lee and Helen. And I remember Pete Vicklin back in the day always used to be moaning about Lee. So just don't like him. And I just thought that was just like somewhat mean. Yeah, he's not the most dynamic person in the world. And dare I say, he's not that interesting. Let's put it that way. Yeah. But my God, their interactions, it doesn't make for stimulating radio, does it? The way that they actually speak to each other. But I think that's the whole point, that Helen needed somebody who is a steady Eddie after Greg, after her last, maniac of a husband, etc., that she's had the rough end of the stick when it comes to relationships. So this is just a communal garden, beige relationship.
Boy.
Yeah, you know, and, oh, you know, to listen to them together, oh, my God. But, you know, I'm happy for Helen. And, you know, he loves the boys. You know, so much so that they can, you know, play with his action doll, take it out the package.
Now,
and he didn't lose. But come on, to be fair, he didn't lose his rag, did he? You know, he took a deep breath when he heard. And, you know, that's love indeed, you know.
Yes, he wasn't angry. He was just sad. And we were sad for him in all sorts of ways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you, Emily. We've got a text as well. Shall I read the text out?
Oh, fantastic. I love a text, me. Do you love texts? Do you love texts?
I do love a text. I feel like I'm going to, go on. What have I opened myself up for
now? I'm just saying, I love texts. I like getting them. I like that little beep beep on my phone and, oh, who's texting me now? You know, someone's remembered me.
I love getting messages. Do you know something, Royfield?
What?
I like getting messages from you, but I don't get them anymore. So that's very sad.
There was a time, you mean, when we used to talk quite often, but now you've taken over the big ship Dum-de-dum. You know, you're just casting me aside like Flotsam and Jetsam.
Oh, like, my goodness. Like, I'm not even going to let you say that.
It's
excuse
all
me, ladies and gentlemen, listeners.
Quentin, this, Rosie, that.
Oh, my goodness. If you could see how furious I look right now. Right, I'm going to go on one now. I am always messaging you. How are you? Nothing. I might get the letter K. I don't even get a full stop. Nothing. If it's not about Dum-de-dum and calls or anything, I get nothing. I have been cast out. You've got me to be involved with Dum-de-dum, and then you've just pushed me out, and I'm very upset. So, yes, I do like getting texts, particularly when they say they come from
Royfield. I hold you very close to my bosom. You know that. You know, I wouldn't entrust my baby just to anybody, Philippa Hall. I've entrusted it to you.
Yes, but friends are there for each other and keep in touch.
Anyway, you were saying there's a text that came through to Dum-de-dum Towers.
Yes, it's not a text from Royfield. It's a text from Sue and JJ. So we've heard the lovely Sue on the call. Please send special love to Royfield. I will really miss him. I really love the rest of you. Well, that is lovely. So, Royfield, this is episode number 396. You are doing, I believe, episode 398 and 400. So the last one we'll record 23rd of August. What are you going to do then? Apart from texting me regularly, what are you going to do?
Chill out, watch Emmerdale,
research Montbelliards.
Well, just more of the same, really. I'm doing a little bit more consultancy, which is lovely. I think people know that I now teach at UC Berkeley, which is utterly fantastic. Like, they can pay me. Quite literally, which is, funnily enough, I haven't been paid yet for it. I mean, working for 3 months because of my immigration status and stuff. But anyway, that's another thing. So I'll be doing my teaching, and I'll be working for Audio Up. So if people are interested in what I'm going to be doing post Dum-de-dum, Beyond 28, so the word beyond, then the numbers 2 and 8, is a podcast which I'm the story editor for. for the Golden State Warriors, which is the basketball team of the Bay Area. And I'm just super, super proud of some of the stuff which we're putting out. I did a little segment on Bobby Seale, the Black Panther, which is in this month's episode, so you can listen to that.
Very good. Very good. And you'll come on if I'm off for some reason, you'll come back on, won't you? Well, you'll have to. Sorry.
Sorry. You know when somebody says they're hanging up their podcasting mic for a certain podcast, that's what it means. You know, I'm exiting stage left. I'm taking my bow.
People want to hear from you.
Oh,
no,
cobblers,
you're not.
Cobblers,
come on.
Cobblers.
You're not going to be let off that easily.
You've got Quentin. You've got Rosie. Good ship Dum-de-dum's in good hands. And I tell you what, I've got my eye on that Stephen Bowden. He's a one. He is. He's a one. So you watch out for him too. Anyway, are we done with all of the electronic missives into Dum-de-dum Towers? Right, smashing.
Thank you, Sue. That was a great text.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. So now it's a social media roundup.
Hi, this is Stephen with your social media roundup. We started the week with a bang, as Helen encountered Kyle for the first time. So what did Dumpty Dummers make of him? A misogynist? A misanthropist? Or simply misunderstood? Raffy J thought that was overcomplicating things. I have met people like him, said Raffy, and wouldn't use any of those words. I do have a word for him, and it's a short, four-lettered one. Owen Kiffin didn't even need four letters. For Owen, he's an oaf. Daniel Gant said, Kyle has just replaced Russ for my number one, hope to be gobsmacked very soon. Pat Ralph Hanavan concluded, oof, that was quite difficult to listen to, partly just because it's unpleasant to listen to horrible bullies, and partly imagining the effect it was having on Helen. Thank goodness Alice popped up to snap me out of it. I think that quite a few of us were gobsmacked by the thought of Alice's appearance calming anyone down. But we should probably talk a bit about Alice, shouldn't we? Nick Noakes started the ball rolling. So, classic relocation Alice, he suggested. I've messed it all up here, I'll move on. It'll be better there. It'll be better for my family, because they won't see me drinking if I'm not there. Laura Jackson responded, I can understand the potential advantages of a change of scenery and not feeling like you're being judged all the time. But this won't work, because she still can't or won't admit she has a problem. Leslie Daly added, sadly, most of her family did make her worse, and depending on how Amy manages, she may well do better away from them. Ah, Amy. Amy Franks, who we last heard from back in 2008. I think it's fair to say that Philip Townley wasn't impressed by Alan's suggestion that Alice should go and stay with Amy. Yes. As a midwife working through a pandemic, I'd love an alcoholic ex-school friend I haven't seen in 15 years as a house guest. Many Dumpty Dummers agreed. Sharon Weldon said, I thought that too. I wouldn't want someone who had such big problems moving in. As a midwife, Amy would want to offload sometimes. I think that would be difficult. John Beasley was looking on the positive side. I'm looking forward to seeing how it works out, he said. It'll be good to hear Amy again after all this time. I always thought it was a shame her character had been written out of the programme. And Linda Suttill was also quite upbeat. We midwives are kind, caring and compassionate and would rally to the cause, especially if Brian is stumping up for the rent. With all this going on, I think many of us sympathised with Emily Pettingill when she asked, anybody else pining for some benign village goss or fate planning or competition over preparation for the flower and produce show? Mia Fox asked, doesn't the scarecrow competition fulfil this? But Emily responded, it's going to take more than the scarecrow competition to calm me down. Helen Lowering Jensen certainly agrees with Emily. Yes, she said, there has been far too much drama of late. I'd like my rural idyll fantasy therapy sessions back soonest, please. And Denise Tomlinson, our very own Dusty Substances, joined the chorus. Yes, single wicket and Kenton would be great. Well, there's no sign of Kenton, I'm afraid. But next week you will get to hear the next best thing on Dumpty Dum, his long-lost twin, Quentin. I will end with a brilliant contribution from Carolyn Wright, who said, can't help thinking that the Alice storyline is becoming like a Victorian melodrama. She has a happy life with husband and child, but she can't handle the drink, so she's dispatched to rehab, a dark, foreboding asylum, from where she escapes back home to her disapproving father, in a top hat and twirly moustache, of course. The local vicar comes to her rescue and offers her refuge with his sweet midwife daughter in the wilds of Nottingham. But who knows what calamities will befall her there? Will she ever see Ambridge again? Will her husband try to rescue her? Will her daughter even recognise her? Will she be tempted into the gin houses and dens of iniquity in the heady lights of Nottingham? Or will sweet Amy keep her safe from all temptation? Carolyn has followed this up with an excerpt from that actual Victorian melodrama, complete with an illustration. So, if you want to learn more, head over to the Dumpty Dum Facebook page. And now, I'll return you to the studio.
Thanking you for that, Mr. Stephen. Well done, Mr. B. So are we doing that funny bit where you try and trick me and catch me out and make me seem like a total dullard? Or have we dispensed with that section now?
I'm happy to dispense with it, but I've got something if you want to do it. So the choice is yours. That's part of the show,
show. Go on. I think people like me to be put through all manner of distress and whatever. So go on. Do your worst, Philippa Hall. Do your worst.
Okay. So this time we've got headlines from The Guardian, The Independent and The Telegraph.
Okay. Right.
And the headlines are, like Chris in The Archers, my wife drank through her pregnancy. And the next one is, deliver us from model railways. And the last one is, long-running radio show celebrates milestone with moments of warmth, joy and positivity.
All right, I'm going, the last one is really dry. I'm going independent. Right, the last one's The Independent. Give me the first two again.
Like Chris in The Archers, my wife drank through her pregnancy.
Second one.
Deliver us from model railways.
Ah. Well, it's 50-50 on this for me. I'm going to go.
Are you sure about your third choice?
Well, The Independent isn't known for its zingers when it comes to headlines, and that is the most anodyne. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, right? So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think anybody that knows of The Independent will admit, well, if you do not know which paper did which headline, you'd guess that would be The Independent, because it's just terrible as a headline. So if it's wrong, it's wrong. But I'm going to go Guardian, Telegraph, Independent.
Telegraph, Guardian, Independent.
You're evil. So I was completely right on the last one.
I know. Sorry, I'm just trying to get you to be completely and utterly wrong. Yeah, there we go. Hey ho.
And I did say 50-50, so I could have gone the other way and I would have got them all right. So I think that's a moral victory. No, but no, it's a moral victory because I explained.
You got one right out of three. That's.
But I explained my thought process. No. I explained my thought process.
But you chose it. I'm sorry. No. If I had more text from you, then, you know, maybe I'd rethink it. But I'm just in the cold land of not having text. So I can't possibly thaw and make such radical changes in results.
Wow. Glad you're not a judge in the Olympics. You can be bribed quite easily, can't you?
Yes, with a text saying, hello, how are you? Yes, I'd be like, oh, okay, then you can go first.
Wow. Are we wrapping this show up now then?
Well, we've got some things to say.
Okay, you say the things and I'll just sit back and enjoy you saying the things.
Well, are you going to say the things on the script that you normally
okay.
say?
Dumbdumb.com. Go there. Oh, goodness. We had some problems, folks. The website
we did,
was down
yes.
for days. Malware hit. We were hit by malware. Website was down for at least 5 days. It's almost up and back, but you can't actually listen to podcasts at the moment. So Jesse is actually fixing that for us. And dare I say it, if ever you needed a gentle reminder that we do this show for shits and giggles, but there is a cost associated. It's when the website just disappears for 5 days. So we have to pay Jesse to fix it. So one way you can help to support dumdydum.com is by going onto Patreon and giving us $2 per show, because it means then we can pay Jesse to fix it when hackers or put malware on the site and it all comes crashing down. It's an occupational hazard of actually running a website. So there you go. So please support your most favorite Archers review podcast by going on to Patreon and giving us $2 per show. There are other things you can do on dumdydum.com. You can join Tractor. You know, they never mention Tractor, do they, when I'm not on the show? Tractor is a wonderful way that you can meet other dumdydums who are close by you. You click on the Tractor link and then you'll see a big map of the world, and pinned to that is the location of Dumpty Dummers, the town where they reside. You can see there's a Dumpty Dummer close to you. You can click on that pin, pops up their little face and with a name, and you can send them a message. You can say, do you want to go dog walking together? Would you like to maybe talk about the Archers over a game of crib? All manner of exciting things can be done via Tractor on dumdydum.com. Now, Philippa, how can people get in touch with us?
Oh, remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakerPipe on the dumdydum.com website, or leave a WhatsApp voice note or text message to 07957 167 696, which has a +44 in front of it if you're outside the UK. Please keep the voice note to less than 2 minutes. And now I just want to send our love and hugs to Jen and her family. And now we need to say thank you to our social media supremos, Cosmo for his podcast roundups, Shambridge for her voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Lucy V. Freeman.
You can find the team at DumdyDum on Twitter, and I can be found at Royfield. How can people find you on Twitter, Philippa Hall?
Ooh, yes, you can find me at QuickBook Reviews, but instead of a W, it's a 3. Look for the orange picture of me reading a book, talking about books. And remember, I always forget this bit, when tweeting about the Archers, please can you use the capitalized hashtag of the Archers, so a capital T and a capital A, as this helps visually impaired people who use screen readers. Without the capitals, it is read as a string of gobbledygook.
Also, you can catch up with us on Facebook. So if you like a little bit of Facebook, go onto Facebook, type in dumdydum and you'll have dumdydum on Facebook. Now, Philippa, what are your predictions for the next week?
Well, next week, will Ben start his nursing course only to realise he actually preferred his geography course instead? Will Adam finally come clean to Ian, or will he head off to Nottingham with Alice? Will Layla turn up and immediately propose to Roy? And will any actual long-term characters be in any episode, or will it just be more pop-up temporary ones? All will be revealed.
Smashing. I think you've had your dumpty dum there, folks. And don't forget, this Friday, get your bum down to Zoom for some smashing Buffy Davis action. That's going to be most exciting. Will you be there, Philippa?
I am hoping I will be.
Like that, is it?
It's just a very, very, very busy time, but I would love to be there because I can't wait to meet Buffy. So if all the stars align, I will be there.
And if you like your politics and if you like Ian Dale, you can get yourself over to Clubhouse. Just download the app. Anyone can download it now. You don't need an invite. Find me on the app and we're going to have a chat about life, love and the universe. At about 9 o'clock on Friday. And he's a, I think everybody knows, he's a wonderful, avuncular chap, is our Ian Dale. And we're mockers of a sort. So that should be good fun too. So on that note, it's Tororobit from me.
And it's a Tororobit from me. Bye bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.